There are over 2,000 people moving to our area each week. But those aren't just numbers. They're real people.
I'm from Chicago, Illinois originally. Moved out here last September.
Moved from Casper, Wyoming.
Casper's nice, but there's not a lot to do.
Oh, it's just beautiful, the mountains.
I love the weather.
It's just a really friendly vibe.
Imagine the opportunity for our church to meet them, to love them, to serve them, to welcome them.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you.
Now listen.
If not us, then who?
Imagine how God can use us to impact more people both here and around the world. So we're making plans to see God move on our campus, in our community through expanding multi-site campuses, and around the world through our global partnership in Poland.
Hey, welcome to Mission Hill. So glad you're here today. We're actually going to have a lot of fun, and you are going to be glad that you did not miss it today. You may know we're in the midst of our four-week series called Imagine, where we're peeking through some doors at the future of Mission Hills. We've been talking about local and regional and global impact and what it looks like to extend our impact for the kingdom of God in those areas. We've talked about local, we've talked about regional. Today we get to talk about global, and the best way to do that is actually we're going to invite one of our partners to come and to share about some of what God is doing through a ministry that we have been just deeply connected with for a number of years. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and grab a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. As with every other piece of this series, it's important that you understand the way that biblical principles are driving our thinking and our planning. And when it comes to the global impact of a local church, there's probably no clearer principle than the one we find at the end of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. We'll pick up in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, if church has been a part of your life for any significant period of time, that those are probably familiar words. Maybe you're hearing them for the first time today, but whether they're familiar or unfamiliar, I want everybody to kind of take a step back and try to read them fresh. And you're going to notice a couple things when you do that. The first one is that these are the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And I think that matters because last words reveal first priorities. Do you know that? Our last words reveal our first priorities, meaning that the last things that we say to people typically let them in on the things that are most near and dear to us. There was a period of time in my life just a few years ago where I was on the road a lot, and so I spent a lot of time kind of heading out the door, going to the airport, so I had a lot of moments of what we'd call last words. And sometimes, you know, the things that I needed to share before I left were technical detail kinds of things, like, you know what, hon, I don't think I can fix that oven. I think you want you to go ahead and call the appliance guy. Or I'd tell my kids, hey, I want you to clean up the basement this weekend. Knowing full well that was an impossible task. That basement could never be cleaned up in a weekend. It wasn't going to happen, but I wanted them at least working on it. But those were never the last things that I said to them. You can probably guess, the last words that I said to them were always, "I love you." Because last words reveal first priorities, and that was the most important thing for them to understand. And in the same way, Jesus' last words here reveal his first priorities, and specifically what they tell us is that Jesus has given us a global mission. He's given us a global mission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, go and make disciples of your next door neighbors. He didn't say, go and share, you know, the gospel with the cul-de-sac. He says, go and share the gospel with the whole world, to the ends of the earth. okay? The second thing I think we notice when we take a look at what he says here is that he also gives us what we might call our tactical approach to that global mission. He gives us a tactical approach to accomplishing that mission. He tells us two things we're supposed to do. He says, go and make disciples. That's our mission. But then he says, by baptizing them and teaching them. Baptizing and teaching. And both of those words are very significant. They kind of give us our tactics for accomplishing the mission. Baptizing really, it kind of summarizes the work of sharing the gospel with the lost. Because the process of baptizing is helping people understand what Jesus has done for them and bringing them to the point that they're ready to make a public commitment through baptism that they stand with Jesus. So baptism summarizes the work of sharing the gospel with the lost. But then he also says we're supposed to teach them to obey all that he's commanded us. And here's the interesting thing is that, as we've said time and time again here, you can't follow Jesus, you can't obey Jesus without following him on mission. Jesus doesn't want us to just learn a bunch of things, but he wants us to join with him in what he's doing in the world. And teaching them to obey all that he's commanded us really is part of understanding who he is so that we can understand what his mission is and what it looks like for us to join him in his work. And so in this business of going to all the world, he says you're to share the gospel with the lost and you're to raise them up to be part of what I'm doing so that I can work not only in them but also through them. So he gives us a mission, he gives us our tactics. I also want you to flip over to the book of Acts real quick. Acts chapter 1. These are the last words that are recorded in Matthew, as we've just seen. But they're not the actual last words of Jesus. The book of Acts actually tells us those. In chapter 1, there's one final conversation that's recorded. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And if the words of Jesus in Matthew give us our mission and our tactics, the words of Jesus in Acts give us our strategy. They give us kind of the way that we go about carrying out this work of making disciples of all nations. He says you start in Jerusalem, that's the city, that's your local area. And then you extend that to Judea and Samaria, that's the surrounding region, and then to the ends of the earth. And the picture he paints is a little bit like dropping a rock into a lake, isn't it? I mean, it has that immediate impact right there, but then the ripples begin to move out, and that's sort of the picture that he paints. For us here in our local context, what that means for Mission Hills is, if we start locally, our Jerusalem is Littleton. And our surrounding region is the South Denver area, and then beyond that is to the ends of the earth. And what we believe is that the strategy Jesus gave us still applies to the mission that he gave us. The strategy that Jesus gave us here still applies to the mission that he gave us. So we're still looking to fulfill the Great Commission in the same way. And so we've structured the whole Imagine initiative around that idea. We've talked about local improvements to reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And for us, that means making more room in this Littleton campus. So adding the seats in the sanctuary, adding the Grove Auditorium, extending the lobby. But we're also talking about then the region around us. And so we're looking at ways to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the surrounding South Denver region through multi-site campus planting like Mission Hills Dove Valley or Mission Hills En Español. But we are also committed, as we have always been as a church, to carrying out the Great Commission on the global level as well. And so we've been asking questions about what does it look like to increase our impact as a church on the global scale. And Mission Hills has always been committed to carrying out the Great Commission locally, regionally, and globally. We actually have 30 partners working in 20 different countries right now, sharing the good news of people. With people, and it's incredibly exciting work, and we wish that we could make significant investments in every one of those ministries, but we've chosen one ministry in particular as part of the Imagine Initiative because we're so excited about what God is doing and because of their long-standing history with Mission Hills and the opportunity that we have to significantly increase their ministry, and that ministry is Josiah Venture in Poland. And rather than me tell you some things about what God's doing in Poland, I'm going to ask Dan Hash, who is one of our long-term missionaries. We've been invested in Hinia's family and Josiah's venture in Poland for a number of years. I'll let you give the details of that. Okay. But I'm just going to turn things over to him and let him tell you what God is doing around the world and especially in Poland. Would you give him a warm Mission Hills welcome?
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Greg. Well, I want to start by telling you, by taking you back in time and telling you about this wonderfully blonde cheerleader who was attending this church some time back and found herself very involved in the youth group here at Mission Hills and loving it. And as a matter of fact, there she is on a youth group trip sitting by the window. Her name is Laura, and she really enjoyed all that was going on in this youth ministry here. And she was being discipled by a leader, by the youth pastor's wife at that time. But one day she was sitting here and trying to ignore what the pastor was saying. None of you have ever done that before when Craig's speaking, I'm sure. But she was trying to ignore it. But Pastor Chuck, who was standing here, pastor from the past, was talking about Isaac and the importance of putting on the altar something that God wants, letting go of something and trusting him with what he does with it. Well, the Lord really spoke to her and said, this is a moment where you need to take a step of faith and let go of something that you've been holding on to. And she did. She went home, and that afternoon, she made things right with God, and she got on the phone and called her boyfriend and said, it's over, and because it was not a good relationship. Now, when you look back over life, that may not seem like a terribly significant step, but it started or continued a bunch of things moving that had been going in her heart. But that shift, that adjustment changed significant things for her. And I'll say more about her in a minute, but I want to tell you about me. I was a 25-year-old youth pastor working with young people and loving it. And I was at a conference with other youth leaders, and this guy said, we need somebody to go do some training in Poland. Who would like to go? And I raised my hand, and I assumed that every hand in the room went up, and they didn't. I said, I'll go. Where's Poland? And they showed me on a map. So, public high school, thank you. And I went, and I got a visa, and I drove across. I remember driving into this dark, dark town. This was pre-communism, and I walk into this room, and there's all these youth leaders with notes in hand and this one bulb in the room, and it's just exactly what you're picturing from the programs you watch on TV. And I taught 7-8 hours a day, and in the first 3 days, I was there for a week, first 3 days, I taught everything I'd prepared. I started making stuff up at night, you know. I'm just like, I got to Chronicles somewhere. And after about 3 years of going back, using all my vacation time and going back to this camp with these leaders, I was really challenged by one guy. The statistic is that 90% of the world's youth ministry resources are spent on 10% of the world's youth. And here I was sitting with 90% of the world's youth, and this guy came to me and he said, Dan, what you're giving us is so valuable, it's so helpful. It's the gospel, the strategy, understanding what Jesus was requiring us and asking of us in his life, in doing discipleship with other people. But we need this all the time. Would you help us find someone to come do what you're doing all the time? And I said, yes, I will. I'll do some recruiting, and I'll try as hard as I can to find someone who will come do this. And he said, thank you. Turned around, started to walk away, came back and said, Dan, could that person be you? And I go, no, that person's not me. Because I had a really good situation. I loved the youth group I was leading, and I didn't want to make a change. But I pondered that, and I talked to God. And God said, go. And God said the same thing to that blonde cheerleader who was from Mission Hills, and she married me, and off we went 24 years ago to Poland to disciple young people. We started an organization together with our friends called Josiah Venture. And Josiah Venture has a mission, and the mission is to see a movement of God among the youth of Poland, the youth of Central and Eastern Europe, in our case Poland, that finds its home in the local church and transforms society. We're helping local churches figure out how to reach the youth of their cities. And we've been doing that for 24 years. Well, first thing we did when we got there is we had to figure out how to fulfill a great mission like that. What do? Well, we have to learn the language. It turns out Polish is a very difficult language. Well, quickly my wife bumped into a gal that was leading her youth group in the local city named Ivona. And Ivona said, I'll be a language partner for you. So they started spending time together. But life on life causes transformation, and Ivona started to grow. There she is, just a couple of, about a week ago that picture was taken, sitting together with my wife. But Ivona started to grow with that season, and she was also babysitting our son from time to time, which was really helpful. But she said,
I would love to have an experience in the States. Is there any way you could help me out? I'd like to sharpen my English. Well, Laura has a brother who attends this church who has a innumerable amount of children and said he didn't mind to have one more mouth to feed in the home. And so she came here and lived with them and helped with the kids a little bit and bumped into an organization called Denver Seminary. She said, I can't believe it. They'll teach you how to counsel. And which she so wanted because she had come from a horrible home where terrible things had happened. And the idea that she could learn to be of help to other girls who had come from a home like her really stirred her. Well, she graduated from Denver Seminary with a degree in counseling, and she picked up a really sharp husband in the process who was a student there as well. And God pulled both of their hearts, and after being on staff here at Mission Hills for a little while in the youth department, Daniel and Ivona moved back to Poland to work with us there training youth leaders. And Ivona had this passion on her heart to start an organization to do something to cause the health and healing for emotionally wounded girls from all over Poland. Are you seeing the theme of this story? You take a step and things open up, and you take a step and things open up. And that's what happened with Ivona. She started this ministry called Escape, helping churches in Poland deal with difficult, horrible situations that have happened in girls' lives. And it has grown exponentially. As a matter of fact, last week there was a conference, and five ladies from Mission Hills came over to assist with leaders from all over Poland that were at this its training conference. And just amazing things are going on in the lives of our gals there. And now it's a thriving ministry, and things are just snowballing and going quicker and quicker. Number of other things are happening in Poland too. I mean, we're working with English camps, and I don't know if you know this, but Mission Hills has been sending teams to work with English camps, which is an incredible tool for evangelism. It's amazing how when you speak in another language, you're willing to be a little more candid about what you think and feel and believe. And teams have been coming for over, I think, 20 years from Mission Hills to help with these camps. Number of wonderful things are happening. And which gives me a chance to stop for a minute and say, as you sit here in this room, you are part of a church that takes mission seriously. That what Craig was saying a minute ago, discipling, teaching them, baptizing and teaching them all that I have taught you, is a key part of what we do here at Mission Hills. And you have been standing behind this movement that is going on in Poland for 24 years. Thank you. Thank you for being part of a church that chooses to put an emphasis on mission like that. That's a big deal. That doesn't always happen. By giving and going and praying, many of you have gone on trips, and there's a couple of ones coming up this year that I encourage you to look at and maybe become a part of. Well, after a national organization grew up in Poland, and we had a bunch of Polish staff being part of this movement of God, we realized as things are growing and we're helping churches, we need a home for this movement. We need a place of our own. We need a ministry center. We need a facility, a camp center, a conference center. And we started praying, and to make a long story short, God gave us one. It's called H2O. And it's called H2O because, as you can see, the swimming pools and the river behind it, it's surrounded by water. But that's physically. But it's also a place where we are seeing living water move from the source into the hearts of young people. As a matter of fact, 9,000 people will walk through the doors of that facility this year. Some of those are school groups that are coming there, and they're getting exposed to what's going on. Conferences, youth ministry trainings. In the beginning of December, we will have youth leaders from all over Poland pack in there and spend time learning how to better lead their youth ministries. It's truly an exciting season. Well, to make it more personal, I want to tell you about a girl named Olga who walked through that door to a conference of Escape that Ivona was leading. And she heard words she did not want to hear in one of the early sessions of that conference. This is her. She heard the words bitterness talked about. What would it be like? Imagine what it would look like if you were to drop your bitterness. If you were to let go and see God do something with your bitterness, which you can say, well, that's not that big a deal. But if you knew her story, if you knew what she had gone through when Her mother got cancer when she had to carry the weight of the family when her father said, "That's it, I'm leaving," and stepped out and moved on with another woman right in the middle of her mom's cancer. You would say, in your physical self, you would say, if anybody had reason to be bitter, she did. I mean, she had a right to be. And so she's sitting in this room, like you're sitting now, listening to Ivona and the others teaching about the possibility of what God could do with your bitterness. Wouldn't it be great to be able to drop that load? But she said, I'm physically incapable. It is physically impossible for me to let go of that bitterness. And together with some of the gals there, she cried and confessed and begged. And you know what? As God so often does, he did something in Olga's heart. A shift happened. It's a God thing. It's those moments. If you've had one of those moments, you know. And you can't explain it with, I thought this and I changed this and I did better. It's just one of those things God did. And she started to forgive her dad, a man who was undeserving of forgiveness. But God had called her to that. And she took a piece of paper and she started writing, "Dear Dad." And she wrote this letter, and she just expressed her forgiveness, not requiring anything from him in return. She folded the letter up, and with a sense of a new beginning, she said, things are going to change. She handed the letter to Ivona, whose intention was to mail it early the next week to Olga's father. But surprisingly for Olga, on Monday morning, the phone rang. And she picked up the receiver and heard her dad's voice on the other end, a voice she had not heard for 2 years because she had broken all contact with this guy for understandable reasons. But he called, and they talked. The next week, he called again. And this time, he said, "I'm calling this time because I got your letter." Well, she had assumed that that's why he'd called, you know, the first time. But no, it had just happened. God, you take a step. And God. And that's what happened in Olga's life. And that happened because Ivona took a step. And that happened because Laura took a step. And that's our story of Poland. There's more going. And to stop for a second and speak to you personally, as you hear this, I want you to ask, what's the step that I'm resistant to taking? What is it that I could only imagine, but I wouldn't take the step? I wonder what that would be for you. Well, 2 weeks from now, girls from all over Poland are going to come to that facility, and they are going to experience an escape weekend again. And I'm so excited about it. And there's 160 beds in our hotel, in our conference center, and they quickly reached the capacity. And Ivona was telling me, she's here this week with us, and you can meet her out in the lobby at the break if you want, but she was telling me that she just got a phone call yesterday from one of the youth leaders in the area that said, "I have 4 girls that have to come," and Ivona said, "I'm sorry, we just don't have room," and she said, I'll do anything, I got to get my girls into this weekend, they desperately need it. And Ivona's sister-in-law agreed that they can sleep on the floor in her house and then drive in each day, and that's because we have a shortage of beds, which is a problem for us in this facility. Now, we have great meeting rooms in this facility. Well, actually, they're not that great. We have a problem with our meeting rooms. Wherever you sit in the meeting room, you can't see. You know why? Because everywhere you sit in that meeting room, you're sitting behind a pole. So it's a... Yeah, a little Polish joke. You got it. That's a good Polish joke. You're allowed to tell that one. Sitting behind a pole. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, the problem is that we don't have enough beds, and we need to expand the capacity of this facility. And so in dialogue with staff and Mission Hills, as part of the Imagine campaign, the staff asked us, what would it be like if we got involved? And through the Imagine campaign, we saw the H2O facility expanded. Now, I want you to picture a new building on our facility. It would look something like this, kind of a whole new facility right next to where they are, where people could sleep, increase our number by 50 beds, and do a whole lot of other things as well. And that's what we're dreaming of and working towards as part of this campaign. We're so excited, actually. It's just one of the coolest things. And because our hope is to see many, many more youth impacted by the gospel. Statistics show that we have about 1% in our country that are have a personal relationship with God. 1%. So the 99% are calling, and we must do more, and we want to do more. This Friday, there's a little announcement in your bulletin. This Friday, we're going to be telling you so much more about what's going on. And our partners in Poland, I got to mention a couple of them, Chris and Kelly Lilpop, who are youth in this church. And now Chris and Kelly are part of this, our organization in Poland. And they were discipled by Daniel and Ivona. Isn't that cool? And then they had a huge impact on another couple called the Piotr Dymkowski, and many of you have heard about the camps that have gone to, the youth teams that have gone to be part of Piotr's church and helped out there. And there's also a new couple that's coming to be part of our ministry. This is a couple named Jacob and Becca. It's just a coincidence, but Jacob and Becca Hash, so our only son, is coming back to Poland. So we're pretty excited about that, to be on staff and work alongside Daniel and Ivona Eifling in training youth leaders. He'll be my boss someday, I hope. And do you feel the flow? Isn't that cool? And I want to remind you of this. You take one step and you go, oh, I didn't know that would be so significant for other people. Laura picked up the phone and she said, no, it's over. And I said, yes, I'll go. And Danny and Bonas said, I have a dream. And God is about doing his thing. What step does he want you to take? What step does he want you to take in your life that will have, as Craig said, the ripple effect that will cause cause the gospel to roll out onto so many more people? I want to pray for you as a church. I want to pray for this campaign. And I want to thank you for how you as a church have invested in missions. So would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, it is because of you and your idea that the church exists, your instrument to the world. Thank you for this one. Thank you for Mission Hills, for all that it means to me, for all that it means to us sitting here, to the other 30 missionary partners that are part of this church that are around the world. God, thank you for this key moment in the life of this, your church. Thank you for the impact here and in other campuses that can increase and grow, for the impact in Poland with this new facility that is so clutch at this moment in time. Oh, God, do your thing. Go further and wider. And then at the end, get all the glory, and we will clap and say, thank you, Lord, because you are such a good God. God, we are imagining more fruit, and we want to stand back and applaud and watch it happen. Do your thing and get all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Molly, and I've been coming to Mission Hill since I was in fifth grade. Back in 2015, I got asked to go on a trip to Poland to do a kids' camp, and I knew absolutely nothing about it. I knew nothing about the kids, about the culture, about Poland, and I just had an experience that changed my life, which then led me to going the next year. This year, I did a 6-week trip where I got to take over a small team, and we got to do the same thing where we taught English and we got to hang out with kids and basically run a summer camp for them. One of the places that we do English camps at is called H2O, and H2O is a place where people can come and be in an environment of more nature. There's a lake off to the side of it, which is pretty cool that people get to hang out. There's a basketball court and a soccer field and a swimming pool, and there's hammocks, and it's just a fun time and a fun place where we get to do English camp. It is such a cool experience when a youth student from Poland comes up to you and tells you how their life has changed and how they've been transformed in just in the little week that they've been at camp. I'm excited that Mission Hills is partnering with H2O to be able to expand the facility and make it bigger and better so that the lives can be transformed. I'm in, and I'm making room for transformed lives in Poland.
Hey, would you thank Dan and his team? We are so excited about what God is doing in Poland and so excited to be able to increase their impact for the gospel there through the Imagine Initiative. I get to do a couple of really fun things right now. Joining me on the stage are Caden and Caden. Hey guys, would you welcome them? When our kids' ministry found out about the Imagine Initiative, they jumped on board, and they've been getting the kids excited about the opportunity that we have to make room for more people to hear the good news of Jesus. And so I'm going to ask these guys a couple of questions. Caden, why are you excited about making room here?
Because God made us to, He made us, and our job is to spread the word of Jesus, and that's what we need to do.
Yes. Amen. Now, Caden, you did some stuff to raise some money to help us make room here, right? What kinds of things did you do?
I forgot.
It's a big list. I heard it last time. You brought some branches?
I helped Dad bring the branches in the backyard, and I helped clean the kitchen. And I swept the floor, and I cleaned my room all by myself.
So you did a lot of stuff to raise some money. Now, you guys had a little bit of a contest thing going on, right? So it was kind of a boy versus girl thing, so who could bring in the most money to make room. Who do you think won?
Boys.
You're just going to go with the home team? You're just going to assume that? Okay, we got a little video that we're going to count it down. Let's see who won, boys or girls. I don't know, it's really close. Neck and neck. It's the boys. Over $1,200 raised for the Imagine Initiative. Would you thank not only Caden and Caden, but all of the kids' ministry? Thank you, guys. Last January, I was preaching, and I just shared a couple of things that were on our heart as leaders about where we thought God might be leading us. They're sort of vague, generalized things. We sensed that we were kind of running out of room at the Littleton campus, and we thought, you know, to pay attention to the momentum that God's blessed us with, we probably need to make a little bit more room. We're not quite sure what that looks like. And I just sort of shared that heart, and I had a young couple who approached us after that, and they said, man, when you talked about making room, God just really spoke to us. He really grabbed our hearts, and we want to help. We want to be part of that. And so Clint and I had dinner with them, and we heard a little bit of their story. He has been working with a startup company here in Denver, and he had some stock invested in the company, and the company was going through a public offering earlier this year, and so that money was going to be coming due. And so they said, we want to use some of that money that God's blessed us with to help make room. And we said, you know, we don't even know what that's going to look like. And they said, we just want to be part of whatever it looks like. And I was so excited. I mean, Clett and I, we finished that dinner, and we just went, that's amazing. There's a young couple that has heard the voice of God speaking. There's no pressure. We aren't even asking for money. We don't even know what we're going to do with it yet. And yet, they're responding to the leading of God, and they want to, you know, I said, I think they want to tithe on that kind of unexpected financial income, and I just thought that was fantastic. And what I did not know, and Clett and I did not know, was that they were not feeling led to tithe on that stock that was coming due. They were feeling led to give all of it. All of it. Which absolutely blew me away when I heard that afterwards. And the gift that they ended up being able to give Mission Hills, even before we launched the Imagine Initiative, was $1,931,000. And again, that was before we even knew what the Imagine Initiative was. That gift did two things. Number one is it convinced the elders, God's moving in this. And we need to get on board. We need to get behind him, figure out where he's headed. The other thing that it did was it allowed us to really begin to dream big and to set the goal of the Imagine Initiative itself at $10 million. We actually figured with all the different projects locally, regionally, and globally, the cost is closer to $12 million. But God already took $2 million of that before we even knew what the plan was. And so that's why we've got the $10 million goal that we've been talking about. The other thing that this did was it just convinced us that, you know what? Our job is just to hear God's voice, to see where he's going, and just stay right behind him. I think it was interesting. We had quite a bit of time of prayer and thinking, and we took about a month to really kind of dig into what do we think God might be leading us to, and we came back together on a Monday night, and we said, you know, tonight's the night. We're going to vote, you know, how much faith are we going to put in what God's going to do? What should the plans look like? And it's probably not a coincidence that that money actually arrived the day that we were deliberating on what we were actually going to do. And I think a lot of us as elders went, yeah, when stuff like that just so happens, You have to pay attention. And so we decided, you know what, we're going to dream big. It's up to God to tell us exactly what he wants done, but we're not going to shortchange God. He's already moving in ways we couldn't have believed beforehand. So there's a fly. Interesting. Over the last several months and several weeks especially, we've been sharing the vision of the Imagine Initiative, you know, the local ideas to extend the Littleton campus with a worship additional worship seating space in the worship center, the auditorium, the Grove Auditorium for student ministries and for an 8 o'clock service, and for all kinds of different things. Then extending the lobby, we've talked about the regional expansion through multi-sites like Mission Hills Dove Valley and En Español and whatever ones God leads us to, and you've heard a little bit about the ways that we're going to be able to bless the ministry in Poland. And we've invited, following a pattern that we see in 1 Chronicles 29 that we'll actually take a look at next week, we've invited some of the leaders of the church to contribute early to that Imagine Initiative. And so some of the elders and former elders and key volunteers and staff and other people that are leaders in different ways have actually made some of their gifts to the Imagine Initiative early. And I get to tell you now that just from that early giving, which, and I don't know the exact, I was trying to work it out the other day, and I don't know exactly, but it's far less than 20% of our church so far, has already pledged a total amount of $1,600,000. Yeah, amen. Which means, if you're doing the math, that means we have already had given or pledged $3,500,000. Yeah. We believe God's moving. We believe that God is blessing this. But those numbers aren't the most important numbers. The most important number is 100. And I don't mean 100% funding of the Imagining Initiative. That's up to God. That's in his hands. What I mean by 100 is that 100% of the people who call Mission Hills their church home would be giving to the Imagining Initiative at whatever level God leads them to give. Which means that 100% of us would be praying and asking God, what would you have me contribute? That's the number that matters to me. It's not the final number. That's in his hands. But the 100 of us would be going before him and asking him, what is he leading us to do to make room locally, regionally, and globally? Clett and I have done the same thing. We've prayed through this, and we've made a substantial, for us, one-time gift, as well as said, what can we give above and beyond our normal giving for the next 3 years as part of that three-year pledge? And, you know, we tithe to the church. I mean, just 10% of our income goes directly to the church. We have a number of other ministries we support above and beyond that. And we looked through it all and we said, you know what, I think God's calling us to basically increase our giving to the local church by about 15% for the next 3 years. That's a stretch for us. We have a kid in college. We have another kid heading off to college in just a few years. But that's how much we're committed to this. And I don't share that to toot my own horn. Again, I believe, and you'll see it next week, we're following a model that we find in 1 Chronicles 29. But I want you to know, as the lead pastor here, that I'm not asking people to pray through this just because I want to see this happen. I'm so committed to this that we're making sacrifices as a family to make room for people to hear the good news of Jesus locally, regionally, and globally, and to invite you to join my family in doing the same thing. Next week is the big weekend. It's our commitment weekend. We'll have the opportunity as a congregation to bring our gifts for the Imagine Initiative, to give our one-time contribution, as well as to let us know what you can give above and beyond your normal giving for the next 3 years, and then to be able to celebrate whatever it is that God's leading us to do to make room for his glory, for people to hear the good news. Would you pray with me? God, thank you. You have been generous to us in ways that we can never, ever begin to repay. The gift of your love expressed in the blood of your Son who washes us free from sin. Your grace that pours out new day after day. Your blessings that are poured out on us in ways that go so far beyond what we could ask or even imagine, as your word says. Lord, would you lead us to spend our time, as you call us to, in prayer this week, seeking you and what you would have us give to make room locally, regionally, and globally, not for our glory as a church, but for your glory as our great King. And for those who are living in darkness, who need the light that we have to offer. So Lord, we commit this week in prayer to you. We anticipate coming in worship with our gifts next week. In Jesus' name, amen.